Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of River City Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Our mission is to awaken people to the transforming presence and power of God's love. To find out more, visit rivercitychurch.com, and thanks for listening.
All right, let me pray. God, I love you. I thank you for all that you're doing this morning. It's just been a fun morning already. And we pray for the fullness of your Spirit to continue to be with us and move among us and instruct us. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. I want to talk to you this morning. I just want to kind of answer a question. What does a harvest require? What does a harvest require? Okay. Tim mentioned that when I returned from Brazil, it was one of those mission trips, which it's a lot like all of them, where you go to give something, but you receive something. And I came back with this new, I got to visit a lot of schools and speak to a lot of students and spend a lot of time with youth and children. And I came back with this new renewed vision for the next generation and was praying one day during the week and really just saw like a dark canvas and these little lights came on. And that's what he was saying earlier about a light bright. It just reminded me of an old 1980s toy light bright. But if you walk into Target right now, those things have made a comeback. There's like a stack of them at the front of the aisle. So it's just, they're back. But so I had like this vision of little lights coming on, and it really felt connected to this next generation. Like there's students that are going to hear the Lord's voice and respond. That Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they're going to hear his voice and respond. And we need to do everything that we can to proclaim the truth of who he is and give those that are going to hear his voice a chance to respond. And, you know, when Jesus taught, he was very rural. His culture wasn't very impressive. Not a lot of pour-overs, flat whites. Like, Jesus was country, okay? He was small town. He ended up in the city, but really every time he went to the city, it wasn't good for him because that's where he would run into the religious elites that were terrified of him. But he grew up in a small, really small town and was southern and country and grew up around agriculture, and I've always been able to resonate with that because I'm from a very small town, about 9,000 people on the panhandle, southern Alabama, right on the Florida state line, not across the state line, so I'm not a gator, but on the good side. And I grew up 75% surrounded by farmland, so my house was facing, we had this old, like, really traditional front porch, and it looks across the field, and, you know, you could see the rain coming across the field when it was like a mile away. I mean, you could just see open farmland for 2-3 miles, and then on this side was farmland, and then on this side was farmland, and I would watch every year as they would rotate the crops, and my dad was really good at it. He would know the difference really early, like if it was some of those plants that when they first break through the surface, they look similar, because, you know, until they bud, you can't really tell the difference unless you know the difference. So if they were growing soybeans or cotton, my dad would always know the difference. We had a lot of farmers in the city that would grow peanuts. Corn would grow, and corn was always fun because they would, come through and harvest the corn when it was ready. And then my favorite was the wheat. They would harvest the wheat. They grew wheat, I don't know, maybe every 3 years. And the wheat would grow fully, they would harvest it, but then they would set it on fire, and it was a controlled fire that would happen. And I mean, as a kid, that was just so cool to watch these guys start a fire on purpose, you know? And it burned for days, right? But the reason they did that is because when the wheat would burn, there's nutrients in the burned grass and weeds and vegetation that when you go back and then till that under the soil, it's like a type of fertilizer. So I would just watch like these seasons, right? And they would rotate the crops, and there was a reason for doing that, and all the way they would do the irrigation, and we had this big front yard, and they would ask my parents if they could park their giant John Deere tractor, you know, like one of those tractors that's as tall as these lights here, and those would be parked in our front yard so that they didn't have to drive them all the way from their house and they would have easy access to the field. So I just grew up surrounded by agriculture, and it was really hard not to climb on those tractors, but I didn't do it. So One thing that I noticed about living in a agricultural town like mine is that there is time between sowing and harvest. Okay? There is time between sowing and harvest. There's a sowing season and a harvest season. And this may seem obvious, but sometimes when you say it, you don't really think about it until you say it. Harvest season is always preceded by sowing season. Harvest season is always preceded by sowing season. So you don't harvest what you haven't sown. You can't reap what you haven't planted. Okay, so there's always a time in between those two, but the sowing season always comes first. It's never backward. Jesus, you know, he was born on Christmas Eve. when Jesus was born, he grew up, but before he went public, in other words, before it was made known that there was a God-man among us, okay? It's like this dude grew up for 33 years approximately, and no one knew that there was like a God-man here, you know? But someone was called to sow before that. This guy named John the Baptist. And he was supposed to literally prepare the way. So he preached and taught and called Israel back to their roots and called Israel back to their origins and called them back to the true God and called them back to what they had wandered from and spoke boldly and spoke plainly. But when the time came, when the Spirit showed John, like, wait a minute, this is the guy that I've been sowing. I've been preparing the way for him. He steps aside. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and there's been this preparation season for Jesus to step into his calling. And then when Jesus steps into his calling, it was very frustrating for people that believed in him that he didn't do it differently than the way that he did. Okay, they wanted him to take over. Okay, much like we want our favorite politicians to do now. But it would have been, for them, it was very political. Overthrow Rome, like win. For goodness sake, win. If you really are this person that's been prophesied that we've waited and longed and our people have longed for so long, then just win. Like, do the thing, take over. We're ready. But instead, he stayed very obscure. I mean, he would come on the scene and heal people, and then he would pull back. They would try to make him more than he was ready to be, and he would come back, and he would say things like, my time hasn't come. This isn't the right timing. And then he just sowed into his disciples, just sowed into them. And they ask a lot of questions. Questions dumber than my questions, right? My questions can be pretty dumb sometimes, but they just ask anything that popped into their head, and he would either correct them, or they would make a statement, and it would just be way off, and he would sow and sow. Pray like this. Pray like this. Right? I'm anointing you. Go out. Practice mission. Go out. Don't take anything with you. Go out and pray for people. Go into that city and pray over them. Okay? Jesus went out through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. In the sowing season, we pray for a harvest. In the harvest season, we pray for workers. Those are two different seasons. Okay? You cannot sow. I mean, the farming is really... It's interesting. Has anyone here a farmer or been a farmer? Yes. All right. Farming is really interesting because you cannot really, I mean, you know what you know what you've seen, but you can't really put a seed in the ground without, there's some faith that this thing's going to grow, okay? Sometimes farmers operate on tight margins in between sowing season and harvest season because it costs a lot of money just to get the seed in the ground, a lot of equipment, okay? And you're praying for rain, but not too much rain. You're praying for sun, but not too much sun. Okay? You don't want all the bugs in the world to die, but you are praying against some specific bugs, depending on which crop you've planted. You're praying against and dealing with, animals that come in and eat the vegetation. I mean, you are really, it's an act of faith, like trusting this thing's going to come to fruition, and you're praying for a harvest. You're praying for fruit. Okay, you're like, this needs to be fruitful. I've gone all in. This needs to be a fruitful thing. Literally, this needs to produce fruit. Okay, and I think there's some principles here. Like, if you move away from farming and you say, well, what's like a more current, relevant job that we could think through that maybe some of you are engaged in? So you think about, like, if you start a business or if you start a new endeavor, in the beginning you're longing for proof of concept. You're longing to prove that this thing that you're doing can be successful. You're longing to prove that you can acquire more customers. You're longing to prove that you can build your brand. You're longing to prove that you can move to the next step, that you can actually provide. There can be enough return in this job to live on. So you're really praying for fruit or success in the beginning. And then once you move into that next phase, well, now you need to hire people, you need help, you need to bring people around you. So now you're praying for workers, right? In the beginning, it's a solo endeavor, a startup. It's a solo endeavor. But when there's proof, when it comes to fruition, well, now you need help. And you see that happen in the life of company, businesses. But that starts in farming, right? Like, you don't need as many people to cast seed as you do to harvest, especially when you're harvesting by hand. As a church right now, and I don't say this flippantly or lightly, as a church right now, I think we're on the cusp of a harvest season. Okay? I think we're on the cusp of a harvest season. And I don't mean church growth and I hope we get a bunch of people from other people's churches. No, I don't want that. I mean sheep that are harassed, that we have compassion on like Jesus did, that need a shepherd. People that are walking through this world without God, you know, walking through this world without prayer, without community. Parents of seniors, I will help you find a church for your students. I want you to know that. I wish I could have said that with them here. But I will exhaust all my efforts and resources to help you find a church for them because I want them to be a part of a community wherever they go. I made a note to say that. But I think we're on the cusp of a harvest season. There's a lot going on. God's stirring up this thing with children. As some of you know that have been here over the last 7 months, we've been in a 7-month process with the acquisition of a new facility, okay? We are waiting for one last thing to drop, which is a very minutia, minor detail-oriented thing. It's just a necessary thing with the city that has to do with when we bring the building up to code, we need to get a clearance on something, and we have to wait for them to get back to us to schedule it. But other than that, the due diligence is done. The contract's executed. We're going to get the facility, it looks like, for much less than we originally thought. God's been good. Yeah. And there'll be more to come on that. I want to give a more detailed announcement about that, but some of you have just been coming up to me and being like, is this thing still in? I'm like, yeah, I never thought it was going to be 7 months, but it has been. It's been 7 months, okay? So we're walking it out. But anything worth walking out, I'll do it, okay? And I think it's been worth it. God, we're moving into this new season. I think this harvest is connected to it. So your prayers look differently when you're in a harvest season. Okay? Your prayers look differently when you're in a harvest season. You're on the other side of some sort of a breakthrough. There's a glimmer of light. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You've walked through something. You're starting to come out on the other side, and your prayers look differently when you're in the middle of a harvest season. God is birthing something among us. It's tangible, but it's time for workers. It's time for workers. 2020 took us, not just us, but we're just a microcosm of everybody, right? It took us and it went like this. As far as, are we going to be divided or are we going to press into unity? Well, you know what? Jesus unified us. Okay, Jesus unified us, but it was difficult for a season because the world was relationally tearing apart, okay, at the seams, and the church had to look differently. It's one of the reasons we birthed communion every week. I think it was birthed out of this. No, every week we've got to sit down and say, we are the body, we are one. We need this rhythm, we need this pattern weekly. But we also just, man, we all felt siloed for a while. It was like we're on our own island. Some of you walked through difficult seasons with family. Some of you still are. You're kind of shaking off some of that. I mean, I don't want to pretend. I mean, I know that the pandemic is over, but there's lingering effects that we're still trying to get out of this fog and say, what does newness look like? What's going to rebirth? What's going to rise up from this dust? Okay? What's going to rise from these ashes? And there's a lot of garbage out there, stats on the church is never going to be the way. Well, maybe it shouldn't be the way that it was. Maybe it should be purified. Maybe it should be cooked down to a reduction that is delicious and good and holy and pure and fervent. Because Jesus has never needed more than about a handful to do what he wants to do and to start what he wants to start and to birth what he wants to birth. Okay? Charles Spurgeon said, give me 10 men who can pray over 100 who can preach. Okay? It's God that does it. It's God that does it. Okay? It's not supernatural people. It's a supernatural God. So we all collectively put our faith in something, and God does it. But we're stepping into a harvest season, and it's time for workers. And last fall, we were in this series called 242, and we were talking about commitment and what does it look like, and RCC for the first time exploring this whole idea of what does it mean to be committed and to have accountability for that and be like throwing around just sacrilegious, horrible words like membership. And then one Sunday, nothing like this has ever happened to me before in my whole life in ministry. I mean, I've had the Spirit speak to me, but one Sunday I was standing right there, and it was like the faith was just, I'm kind of at a loss for how to explain it, but I just felt like somebody wrapped that around me, but it wasn't for me, it was for us, and it was just about faith, and it was the exact same moment this building came on the scene. I mean, it was like the same week, and it was just like, this is a new season of faith. So we just preached about faith for 4 or 5 weeks. I preached everything I could think of on faith for about 5 weeks. And you've noticed it's just become more of my language because I'm obsessed with it. Not for results or anything like that. I just believe that is what God has for us right now. And that we have to hold on to what's good and what we know to be true, even when we don't feel like it. So why did God interrupt that series? Well, I've been trying to think through that, right? Because I put a lot of planning into that. God has a way of embarrassing our planning sometimes. I think I misread the season. I think I was calling us to a season of harvest, but God was calling us to a season of sowing. I think I was calling for workers, and God was saying, we got to spread seed, man. We've got to sow in faith. We've got to put our faith in what he's going to do. We've got to put our faith in where he's going to take us as a people, as individuals. We've got to pray. We've got to long. We've got to wait. We've got to hope. And we've got to grab truth and not let go. We've got to grab onto God's character and not let go and let him bring him through this season. And what's interesting is here we are 7 months later, and now people are starting to have dreams about getting involved, texting me about serving, texting me about what can I do, how can I help, what's God calling me into. Jared, I want to meet with you. What does it look like for me to get more involved? Like, it's what God is doing. It's what God is doing. He's calling us into a deeper season. So if I'm a strategic person, which I guess I was in my former life, I would never preach this sermon right before we all go into the summer. All hands on deck. See you guys in September. Okay? I'm preaching it now because it's stirring in me now, but I'm preaching it now because I want you to use this summer to ask yourself some questions about what the life of the church is going to look like for you. What's community going to look like for you? Relationships here. What's serving going to look like for you? What's giving going to look like for you? What's volunteering of your time going to look like for you? What's engaging in mission going to look like for you? I know a lot of you are going to Costa Rica. I'm super stoked about that trip. But what is it going to look like for you? And I want you to wrestle with it. Be honest with yourself. Because now's not a time to lower our commitment to the mission of God. As we rise up and some of these restrictions come off, what we're able to do and how we're able to engage in the schools, in different countries, in the city, everywhere we go, now's the time. Now's the time to double down. Now's the time to engage. Now's the time to pray for a harvest. Now's the time to say, God, are you really moving us to a permanent facility that's close to the heart of the city, that's in a neighborhood? Is that really happening? If so, what does that mean? Why would you do that? He has purposes. He has plans. I wish I knew all of them. But the fact of the matter is a lot of them are probably going to originate with you and get birthed from you. VBS wasn't even my idea. I didn't even think about that. It got birthed from among us. Right? That's the way the Spirit works. So I want you to be stirred. I want you to pray. I want you to put yourself before the Lord, and I want you to say, over this summer, God, this is usually not a time where we're all in the same place at the same time that often. We've got trips, we've got camps, we've got vacations, we all have them. But this is a time when I can assess. I can use this summer to say, all right, Lord, what's the next season of ministry and involvement in participating in the life of the church look like for me? What does it look like for me? You know, one of the joys has been one of the most simple things we've done over the last, I don't know, seven or eight months. We've done these two newcomer things, right? We've done two now, and we're about to finish up our second one. And it's just really simple, but we have had some of the most amazing people show up at this church in the last 18 months, 2 years. I mean, amazing people. You may not even know that. But I mean, some incredible individuals. And they've come through these newcomer on Sunday mornings and been like a group and formed community around each other. Some of them have been baptized here. Some of them have been through Alpha, encountered the presence of God. I mean, it has been really cool just to see the new people that God has brought into this church family. And I have this dream, like, I don't know, maybe I'll, if I can get, like, I have a dream of all of us being in the same place at the same time, like all of us. So I'm going to get, like, Tom Cruise or somebody to be here, and everybody will show up. We'll just do something really gimmicky, and everybody will come. But I would just love to have one day, you know, where, even if we're outside, where it's just really like, no, this is like 99% of us, you know? Does everybody just look at, everybody look and see? Because some Sundays, it looks very different. There might be the ones that are here, and then half of us might be different the next Sunday. Okay? So I would love for us to all just have a space where we can see each other. But anyway, this is what's stirring in my heart. I believe we're moving into a harvest season. I'm prepared to be wrong, but I don't think that I am. I think that God's doing something. I think that God's doing something, and he wants us to participate in it. So I want you to pray that way, okay? I want you to pray with faith and believe that God has a very specific space for you in your neighborhood, okay? In your work, in this church, with your relationships, in your family. And I want you to do one of those, like, I grew up in the church, and we call it like a rededication or something. I want you to say, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? Use the summer. You want to meet with me? I'll meet with you. You want to talk about it? We can talk about it. But I think it's harvest season. And if it is, I'm praying for workers. Okay, if it is, I'm praying for workers. All right, you can stand. Lord of the harvest, I pray for workers. Lord of the harvest, I pray for workers. What an unbelievably unique, gifted, talented, creative church this is. Father, it really is. Like, it really is. And you know that it is a unique and creative and talented and gifted group. And I pray that you birth dreams and visions and passions and burdens that blow our minds. Just awaken us to your mission. Just clear the fog. Free us from things that we've convinced ourselves are obligations, but really we've just obliged ourselves to them, and they don't have to be obligations. Free us to trust you with our lives and lay them down. You know, one organization that we're really close to is this organization called Alpha. And we run Alpha. And the leader of Alpha that started the whole thing's in England, and he's a lead pastor. They call it a... rector, and he stepped out from his position. His name's Nicky Gumbel, to focus the next 10 years of his life on mission and raising funds. And the Alpha course was just not translated, but literally a true original teaching video series was recorded in Mandarin, which means the gospel through Alpha is now in Mandarin. And I don't know if you know this, but that's the most spoken language on earth. We're over here, so we just assume English or something, but it's Mandarin. So the gospel's in Mandarin. And I'm just like, man, I hope there's a harvest attached to that. I pray there's a harvest attached to that. But it seems like the church globally, church locally, is sensing this is a moment in time, a window to step in. This isn't a moment to step back. That's from the enemy. It's a moment to step in and say, God, we're yours. Like, we want to be faithful as a people. God, for those that are just giving everything they have, I pray for refreshment for them, renewal for them. Fill them again. I want to open these altars for prayer, and that's an old school way to say it, but it just means come down for prayer ministry. And what we do is we have people that are trained to pray, and they're going to come alongside of you and pray for you. And you never know what the Holy Spirit might pray over you through a person. We've seen some amazing things happen around here, right down here. So if you have anything else that's weighing on you this morning, whether it's physical or financial or emotional, or you just sense, man, I need God. You may not be personally in a harvest season. You may be in a sowing season. And you're longing for a spark so that you can then pray for workers. But wherever you find yourself this morning, you come down and we have prayer ministers that are going to pray over you. If you're a prayer minister, you can come down now and get ready to pray. And then if you say, Jared, I'm just open. Like, I'm in. I don't know what it means, but I want to be a part of what God's doing here in the city, what God's doing. Then you come down and you just make yourself available and open by doing your hands like this. This just means, God, you tell me. I'm here. You tell me. If that's you, I want you to come down now for prayer. For that or for any other reason, but specifically that this morning. You can come now.